Thank you, worship leader. This is an expression that I have loved over the course of my years. I heard this expression when I was a very young boy, and my father was sharing the wisdom of spirit with the congregation. So when he said, they say, it's an emphasis on that word. In other words, what is they? They say, who say, what they say, let them say. It's something we should pay attention to. What does it really mean? Some of us may have discerned the meaning because you've heard it for some time. Some might still be wondering. As our community grows, and people tune in online through the podcast and all the social media that we are working on, I hope this reaches into the hearts and minds of those who will hear this. Probably during our retreat, we might even talk about this more and turn it into an exercise to exercise our bodies, make it into a call and response. They say, the congregation say, who say? What they say, let them say. It is important that we empower ourselves with this. Why? Because those who are in our lives, those whom we care about, those whom we rely on, or those whom we think are best friends or the best thing that has happened to us, depending on the circumstances of their own life, which will change the opinion or where they are, they might have a different opinion of us. Of who we are. I've experienced this firsthand. You can imagine someone who is going through a situation or something has just pissed them off. And they are with you, or you happen to come together for whatever. They might not even be people you really know. They look at you and they form a different opinion because they are not at peace themselves. And we should also be aware of this. When we are not at peace within ourselves, don't make opinions about others. And it's not just those who are in our lives, or those we are connected to, or those we don't even know. Even our own thoughts, because it varies at different times. Thoughts might come into our consciousness that has nothing to do with us. Just because you exist, you live, those thoughts will come because other people in the environment, the atmosphere, form those thoughts. And then they come into you because we absorb things around us. And if you let those thoughts dissuade you from your God-given, indwelling, Christ-consciousness intuition or thoughts, it may have profound effect in our lives. It may have an impact that we do not even want. And we know everybody wants to be loved, everybody wants to be cared about. And so we value some other people's opinion. And their opinion might mean nothing in the scheme of things. But because we cared and then we listened to them, only down the line we find out, oh, I shouldn't have taken that route. God bless the soul of one of my sisters who has passed on. I remember asking her, I said, why did you marry your husband? She looked at me and said, brother, I wasn't really keen about him. I sort of like him and it's okay. But because mother said, that's the one I should. So then I gave in to that. I said, then why didn't you trust your own intuition? So you know the culture. So I left it alone. Both of them have passed on now, both the husband and my sister. But looking from where I was sitting, hearing what Spirit was telling me, I knew that they could be friends, but they shouldn't have been husband and wife. Too bad my father wasn't in his physical body then. But I'm sure they tried to guide us, you know. I don't blame my mother because mothers always want the best for their child. Even those we really, and my mother has great intuition. Even the angels don't have it all. They don't know it all. They go by what they see. And only God knows. And that's why we must listen to that God-given intuition in us. Angels get it wrong. But they don't get it wrong most of the time because the Spirit of God is there. But if they allow themselves to, you know. So on that one, I think my mom got it, was off the mark. It's not that sister's husband wasn't a good person, but there were certain things you know now. And my sister, I said, what about the one you really care about? I said, oh. And that one then turned out to be a minister. That's what he was called to be. And God really used that guy. But when they first met, he wasn't a minister. He didn't even have a clue what he was going to be. Having said that, I also know from my own personal life. Because if I had listened to others, I wouldn't have married my wife. Not because the people were not nice people or they loved me less. No. Because, oh, you should marry someone from your background, your culture. I'm saying, well, thank you. I don't argue with them. But I know what the inner dwelling spirit was telling me. None of the people that I've met, yeah, we can be boyfriend, girlfriend, lovers, and all of that, but they are not the one. Like we've heard the kids say, my mama say, you are not it. What's that expression? Meeny, miny, moe, something like that. And there was someone I really cared about that his opinion really matters to me because he was gifted. But I knew at that particular time, he didn't tune in because the pressure was coming on him because they knew he has a great influence in my life. We're very close. So from my mother, from others, like, when is he going to marry? She married one of us. I remember my uncle, God bless his soul, who were sitting and he's telling me, oh, well, aren't you going to marry someone from the village my father came from? And I remember saying, no. I wasn't even doing this work then. But there was something in me that would not yield to what they were asking. And I gave some, and he just looked at me and like, seriously? It doesn't matter who you marry, you have to deal with this. I didn't want to say, Uncle, look, I know what I'm talking about. Because even at that time, I didn't know what I was talking about. But there was something in me, that intuition, that I felt, well, if I'm supposed to be married. And then what happened? And when I met the one who would be my wife, of course, she didn't have a clue. I didn't have a clue until Spirit spoke. And I knew, oh, that's the one. Even all of us who are here today, before we all met, we didn't know we were going to come together. Probably if we look at our different backgrounds, we might think, oh, we'll never go, we'll go different directions. But no, if you are part of this community, it's because you are meant to be. Those who are not, they might come and they will go. But the indwelling spirit is always constant. It is not influenced by any circumstances except that which God has planned for us. So that's what that word meant. They say, who say what they say, let them say. Your husband, your father, your mother, your siblings, your friends. At one point, they might be your best friends, and something might happen, and they go their separate ways. So do not allow somebody else's opinion to mess you up, to make you feel less of who you are, to taint your day, or grab you by the neck and make you say, wow, question who you are, or question that, oh, maybe I'm not such a good person. Yeah, we're not all perfect. If God doesn't condemn you, why should you condemn yourself? If God doesn't say, that's the path we want you to take, why should you take the path just because somebody says it? Even if I'm talking to you, I say, Spirit says, it is up to you to go validate that. Because the Spirit of God that talks through me is also inside of you. It talks through you. If it's true, you will validate it. You will know. Jesus didn't try to persuade people, he presents it. And if they tune in, they will find out, oh, what he was saying, and then they will follow it. Remember the story of the Samaritan woman? He presented the case. And for her to make up her mind. And then she knew within herself, not because of what Jesus has said, that truly this is a man of God. This one is for, and ran to his people to say, come and see. My favorite expression, I think. Somebody here in this room is nodding their head. Come and see America Wonder. Come and see America Wonder. Because that was the story I grew up in. All these magicians. I mean, the sleight of hands where you think they are cutting people, they disappear. I mean, if you are from a different culture, they want to use whatever is outside. Come and see America Wonder. So, yeah, come and see Jesus wonder, the Christ consciousness wonder in your life. God bless all the politicians and people in places of power and influence. But they don't get it, they don't know it. So, if they are making decisions for us in this country, that we, the American people, we know. We can tell because our intuition says, no, this one is talking out of his mind. He's not talking for us. They say you can fool people sometime. There will be people you won't be able to fool. You can't fool them all the time. So if your minister, your priest, I don't care what temple path you follow, your imam, is telling you something, you don't disagree with that. You turn to your indwelling and ask if it's true. Because that's why some people, you can't take them to go to church anymore, even though they believe in God. Because somebody who says their minister says something that goes against, when a minister tells you to stay put in a wedding that you are being abused because they say it's against God's law. What God will make you stay there until you got killed? Trust your own intuition. Get out of an abusive situation. If your father or your mother says, no, don't do this, and you know that is your gift, you better follow that. We know of parents who say, oh, you won't amount to anything. This is not your life. And the kid just tuned them out and followed, and then they became wonders in the world. And then the same parent like, oh, forgive them anyway. Because the kids will say, well, remember, you didn't want me to do that. And if you have parents or people who say something that your intuition agrees with, follow it. But if any of us live by people's opinion, we will never become what God wants us to be. It doesn't mean all their opinions are wrong. It just means trust your own intuition first. Listen. And if it's in perfect harmony, yes. The only one who gets it right all the time is the one who created all of us. So here's a story. That will help us to illustrate this. I'm saying this like I was right there, but it's a story from the old. I was at the beach, you know, the ocean, the sea, where we all go during summertime or something because we like the wave and want to. I was at the beach when a strong wave swept in and washed away the sandal of a child that has been left there while the child plays with some sands. We all see all these kids, they leave their slippers and all of that, you know, building castles and all of that. When the child saw what has happened to his sandal, he wrote on the sand with his finger, "Sea is a thief. He stole my sandal." Along that same coast, on the other side, a fisherman caught a big haul of fish through his net and arm. Some of what we've seen while we're at the beach, you see boats in and all of that. He was very happy, and he wrote on the sand, "The sea is my nurturer and provider." Same sea now. So as the day progresses, we heard a young man has just drowned in the sea and died. Because of that, what do they call it? The undercurrent. Sometimes, don't ignore nature. Nature is more powerful than we think. We always think we're more powerful. Don't ignore it. Ask if you're allowed to come in. Bless the spirit of the ocean. And if it's not your time and you are not supposed to go die through that, you won't. But anyway, as the day progresses, we heard of a young man has just drowned in the sea and died. The young man's mother was beside herself. What do you think? How do you think she feels? She was saddened by the loss of her son and wrote on the sand, "Sea is a killer." Do you blame her? Because that's how she feels. That's the circumstances. Not too far from where we heard the young man drowned, a poor old man, while walking on the sand, found a priceless pearl inside a big oyster. He was delighted, and he wrote on the sand, "Sea is very generous." And we know what it's like. We go to the sea, we want to pick up the pebbles. That's why sometimes they tell us, leave the stones alone. So the old man wrote, "Sea is very generous." Right after that, suddenly, after this, a big wave came and washed all the writings away permanently, erasing them like they never wrote them. the same coastline now. So what does this tell us? What does this mean? It means the sea does not care or give a hoot about the various opinions people have about it. It is happy being who she is, alive and pleased with this wave. After I didn't put a gun to you to come to the beach, you went there of your own accord. It's not going to change who she is for you, because he knows who she is from the creation of life. She's been there. Nuclear weapons are big. It's not going to change who she is. You can fish all the sharks you want. The sea still remains. It's not going to, you know, when he wants to bring the biggest wave, he's going to do it. So you can imagine, if the sea cared about what others say about it, it will not be so magnificent and pleasurable for people to keep going to seek its beauty and enjoy it, will it? So if we want to be like the sea or ocean, we must stop worrying and paying attention to what people say or think about us. Never pay attention to useless talk. Because people will do it when they are gossiping about you, when they just don't like what you look like, as if they can create you. Don't worry about it. Those are useless talks and opinions. We must decide for ourselves, what kind of life do we want? A life of peace and adventure. A life guided by our God-given intuition. We all know people's opinions keep changing according to the circumstances of their own lives. Like I said in the conversation, someone who has been pissed off by something beyond their control may take it out on you or form a negative opinion of you because they are not at peace and therefore are not in a place of wisdom to actually see you for who you are. Because within all our intuition, there is God's wisdom behind it. The all-knowing, the all-perceptive one. We all know if a bug or a fly falls into our cup of water or tea, we may decide, I don't want that. We throw the water and the tea away. But if the same bug or fly falls into our favorite food, we're not going to throw the whole plate away. We probably scoop it out, right? That part. We scoop it out and continue enjoying the rest of our meal. We should treat other people's opinion like that. If it's the one that doesn't throw the whole thing away, if it's something that, okay, yeah, they might have some merit, but still going inside. And what is meritorious, you take that part and you continue your own journey by trusting our own intuition. The same way we should treat our own thoughts that are negative and which does not reflect the totality of who we are. Because those thoughts doesn't belong to us. They come from somewhere else. Like they will say, let the thoughts come and go. But we will stay committed and steady with our own God-given indwelling spirit that guides our intuition. And we will be all right. And then we will follow that slogan that say, they say, who say, what they say, let them say. And then we know it is well with us. It is well with us. Amen.